Backseat Producers, episode number 253, Looper.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
I see myself with Aaron Rodgers on your wall.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. And a little chubbed up.
All right, so business. We've actually done a little bit of planning.
Did a slight amount of show prep.
Here's the thing. You don't even have to make this announcement if you just leave in the last hour of us talking.
I know.
What time is it? Everybody was here before 9, and we still didn't get started until 9:30.
All right, so the next...
We're on the clock or anything.
The next 7 movies.
I had a leaking water heater, deuce. I'm always on the clock now.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. That's what I call my syphilis.
You were sick last week, so
that's what I call my syphilis.
All right, so the next 7 movies.
Talk. Hey, man, were there 100% less dick jokes last week because I wasn't here? Be honest with me.
Let's say 98.3.
Yeah, I want to say there was some.
Hold on, you guys only contribute 1.7% of the dick jokes in this podcast? Well,
yeah, we under...
You inspired them.
And that it's in and of itself was a dick joke.
I know!
It's not that we don't contribute them. You just inspire them and bring them out of us.
So...
What there was hearing. A moment last podcast. I don't remember what it was.
You are the dick catalyst.
Is what I'm drawing the dick out of you and into
Adam?
Me.
Oh, no, he's not there. Like, there was something we said last week where it was like...
Oh, when she slips the gun in her panties?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so the next 7 movies. Glengarry Glen Ross, The Hobbit, The Next 3 Days, Django Unchained, 12 Monkeys, Gangster Squad, and Cloud Atlas.
Oh, so we're doing an LGBT month. Movies.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I got nothing.
I don't know where that comes from, but...
I don't know. I saw an ad with some LGBT protest today or something. And I don't know,
what's LGBT?
Were they
lesbian, gay, bisexual, and...
Transgender.
And transgender. There it is.
Were they protesting it, or were they the ones protesting?
I thought maybe it was a new LGBT.
I think they were having a parade.
Okay, yeah.
It was like the LG... something banned. like it was LGBT, but the B and the T stood for banned something, because it was like a marching band. it was clever when I read it, but then instantly forgot it, so it wasn't that memorable.
Gotcha.
So it couldn't have been that clever.
All right, so...
Try harder, gays.
That should take us through March. Well, into March at that point.
Where we're going to watch all movies about Ireland.
No.
I've got a list.
I don't trust the Irish. I never have. Not after they killed my son.
Do you drink Guinness?
No.
Well, I guess you don't trust the
Irish. I was
Irish
over here quoting Star Trek VI, making it about the Irish.
But you
Irish.
Do eat McDonald's. You eat McRibs.
That's true.
I haven't had a McRib this season.
You're an Irish rib.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Tony, I don't go anywhere where there's a McDonald's.
There's one on the, like, right at the end.
Tony, by the time I get out here, it's already like 11:30. And then we spend 7 hours podcasting. I barely make it to work the next day.
Just barely.
I don't have time for McRibs.
McRibs for breakfast.
Yeah, well, if you rent me a helicopter, I will eat all the McRibs on the way.
Yeah, you didn't win the lottery, so you couldn't fly out here in a helicopter.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, bad news. I didn't win $500 million in the lottery.
Because you could have gotten
buy the right tickets.
You could have gotten a helicopter with a... with a kitchen in it, that they could make you make.
They could make me, yeah.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I think the whole system's rigged.
Why?
Because you didn't win.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm Hispanic, so I'm used to the system being against me.
The man doesn't have your numbers.
Listen, the lottery, anyway. The lottery is an agent of the man, engineered to keep me down. and on the
it
island.
Actually is an agent of the man.
I know, it's insidious.
It's okay, though, kids. It all goes to education. Okay, so what are we talking about tonight? So.
Looper, which for some reason I can only call Loopa.
Is it because of the bad accents in this movie?
There are some. There's some weird accents.
I'm trying to figure out why Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis are both trying to do a Ryan Gosling impression. I just think it's weird.
I would be honest with you, this was my biggest problem with the movie. I'm not even skip the short review and all that kind of stuff. When you have two actors who are incredible, like Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and you have them doing this, something has gone horribly awry.
Why did they feel the need to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt look?
Oh my God, it was so bad.
I mean, it looked good.
It worked
well for the midsection of the movie when they were actually showing him going through the years.
Mm-hmm.
But
the best comment I saw about that was, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt turns into Bruce Willis, what hope do any of us have?
That's true.
That was awesome.
Well, about that, I didn't think actually he did a bad job with the voicing. I mean, we're kind of joking about it, but I thought his little tics, the little Bruce Willis tics, were pretty spot on. Mm-hmm. I just think the makeup was almost distracting.
It was
distracting.
You could
have almost had Joseph Gordon-Levitt just be himself and do the Bruce Willis thing.
Yep. Do a Bruce Willis impression.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was part of my problem with this. Like, so they weren't bad in this, but those two guys are great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't great in this. And I don't know if that's a problem with writing or the story or, like, nothing was required of them for this movie.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that... Well, that gets into a whole other thing where I guess my high-level review is good movie, but there's a better movie in this great idea that they had. I mean, there's a much
better
movie.
They just didn't make that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a great trailer for this other movie.
Yes. Yes. Just like the 90-second Cloud Atlas trailer. You know, it's a great trailer. But I didn't think the movie was...
All right, so that was Looper.
I'll jump into the high-level review. I didn't think the movie was bad. I actually enjoyed it. But I did feel like there's a way better movie lurking around in here. I don't, you know, I would have rewritten a few things. I would have changed a few things. There are things I would have done to maximize the idea, which was pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, that...
You know what? I disagree with that. Because I think the idea was enough, and the idea stood enough on its own. And the story that they told, I was compelled by it, and I thought it was great. I would not have changed it.
Okay.
I think you could have added to the idea and made it more about the time travel, but I wouldn't have cared as much.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought
what they did in a montage with the time travel was more than enough.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, I was fine with that part.
Yeah.
Because that actually showed you everything you needed to know.
Although I think if you showed more, it wouldn't have hurt. I mean, depending on how you structure the movie, I mean, don't make it 3 hours or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't necessary to see him go through all of that in any more detail than the montage showed.
I think it depends on, like, for example, I think it would have been nice to have one scene with him and the woman who he speaks so, you know, passionately about, and it's his entire motivation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about their relationship other than what he tells.
Other than what he says, yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen one scene. And if they were good enough writers, they could have pulled it off.
Well, I mean, you do see the scene where he gets abducted.
Well, but there's no...
Right,
you know.
And I get it. There's no relationship building at any point.
Yeah, they did a montage of it. They don't show Rocky, you know, sweating in a gym for 18 hours a day.
Yeah, but you don't think that the motivation of his entire character is at least a little important to show on screen?
I don't think so, because I don't need to see him going through withdrawal and doing all that stuff. And they even kind of hinted at it.
Well,
but
not that,
see,
maybe,
that was,
but maybe a coffee table conversation where you get to know who she is, you see how they look at each other, something that puts you in the frame of mind where you're like, okay, he doesn't have to explain his motivation because you see his motivation before he ever gets to the point where he has to explain it.
They could have done that better. Yeah, I'll give you that. But it was fine for what it was. I didn't have
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it ruins the movie.
Yeah, that wasn't the ruiner of the movie for me. Okay.
I did not see the need for the makeup.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor and Alec Guinness, everybody knew that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. And in Phantom Menace, he even kind of mimicked his vocal style and some of his tics enough that
That was the best thing about The Phantom Menace, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
Which was a big pile of steaming shit.
I actually like The Phantom Menace.
You're wrong.
We'll leave that for another day.
Wrong.
Your expectations were too high.
Because I had them.
But I guess the thing about the makeup is I actually just saw a movie called J. Edgar. I don't know if you've seen this movie.
Not yet. With Leo?
Yeah. And that is a film with atrocious makeup. And it dominates the movie. So this wasn't too bad, but it still was distracting.
Yeah, I don't know. The makeup wasn't the distracting part for me. So what really bothered me about this, and the concept sells me, like, so this is an easy sale. Okay, the concept is solid. In the future, they send people back. That's how they dispose of the bodies. I'm on board. Like,
yeah.
Already, you have to do something pretty horrendous to break this for me. All right? So what I expect going into this is Bruce Willis is going to come back. Him and Joseph Gordon-Levitt are going to run around shooting people. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a me and me buddy cop adventure.
Oh, I never I never got that vibe from it.
First, Bruce Willis is in it. So how can you not get that vibe? So, all right, that's fine. But then, like, they spent so long with Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the beginning, establishing that he's just this dick, that I'm like, all right, well, this guy's a dick. I kind of hope that he shoots himself when he comes back. And then that never stopped for me. Bruce Willis came back, and he's telling me about all this stuff that happened to him, but I don't ever see it, so I don't really care. So now, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's a dick for the first half of the movie, so I don't care about him. Bruce Willis is telling me about a bunch of stuff I don't care about, so now I don't care about him. So, like, I don't care about any of these people. Then they run into the woman and the kid, and breakout best performance in the movie is the goddamn kid.
The kid was
incredible.
The kid is fantastic.
And I was like, okay, so finally...
He's from the future, guys. I mean, you know.
So finally, they have finally gotten the thread that I'm actually interested in. And I was like, all right, so if this movie was just this wonderful tapestry of deception, that the kid is the thread that you're going to follow to the end, and it's going to be such a satisfying conclusion, I'm in. Like, the mislead with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis, this was perfect. And then they go nowhere with the kid story. It ends.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
The kid becomes the motivation for...
Yeah.
Again, it's all exposition of things you never see. Maybe the kid does.
But he's telling you most of it all the way through the movie.
Yeah, but you see why...
Kind of.
Gordon-Levitt's character changes.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
But here's the thing. All of the interesting things that happen in the movie, you are told about happen elsewhere.
I don't know if you need to see what the kid does in the future. I don't think that's important.
I think it's kind of cool
that you don't know.
Shadow figure also, so they don't even know who he is. They don't know what he looks like.
Okay, so the big bad looming threat that we're told about that we never see threatens another guy's love interest who we never see but we're told about, and so all of that impacts a dick that we've been with for the first half of the movie.
Well,
this movie is predicated on shadowy figure is doing something to other mysterious figure, which impacts Dick in the present in no way, shape, or form. That's what we're seeing.
Except it did impact him.
The only thing it impacted was that he stole all his money. It was the series of events that lost him all of his money and his comfortable lifestyle. But that's what I mean.
Which time? I mean, it convinced him to go on a different path than he was planning to go on. Then when he got to that point in the future that he was going back, he set himself up.
No, I understand what happened, yeah. But we only get that portion of it in a shitty montage. But we get 45 minutes of Joseph Gordon-Levitt walking around being a dick.
Yeah, but he has to build the world. That's why that happens. The world has to be built.
Yeah.
Which, I think...
They'll split the difference.
Well, I hear you on that.
You know what? To honestly do the story the way you want it done, you need at least two movies.
Well...
Honestly.
I'd be fine with that.
You do. Because there's...
Make a loop or two. Make it all about the kid growing up and then becoming a conflicted, awesome asshole who kills people in the future. And put Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, sprinkle Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis in there with some sort of time travel hand-wavingness.
Can't, because they've committed
time travel hand-wavingness.
He's committed chronocide, so he doesn't exist anymore.
First off, you explain that away with a paradox. It's time travel. Just toss the word around paradox around liberally, and then all problems with the plot go away.
It's interesting because the movie puts forth such a ambitious like plot framework. There are a lot of things where you could point at and say, I'd change this, I'd change that, I like this, I don't like that. I think I was doing that pretty much the whole movie. I still liked it, though. I don't think it was a bad movie. I was really interested in it.
I don't think it was a bad movie. My problem with it was that they sold me out of the gate, but I don't felt like they delivered.
I think there's a better movie out there. That could have been written. I think
this was 75% of the awesome movie that I wanted from the preview.
And see, for me, the preview told me it was going to be one movie, and then it was completely different.
It was completely different.
Me and me, buddy cop.
But there are some...
I never thought that. I never thought it would be that.
I thought it could be a cool sci-fi, like I thought real it was gonna be, sci-fi. I thought it was
going to be a chase movie.
I didn't think it was going to be a chase movie. I thought it could be a real cool, real sci-fi philosophy time travel movie. But that's not what it was.
No,
it was, I think, a philosophy time travel movie.
What? No, it was like half action
time travel. Well, there was action, but I mean, I think, how can you ignore the fact that the movie was all about the main character's choices, both versions of the main character, and how time travel affected those choices? I think that's a big part.
Because the only consequence you ever see to those is when he kills himself.
No, there were a lot
of
consequences.
And then you don't even really see a consequence, he just disappears.
I think one of the coolest things about the movie was how, and actually it was kind of like shocking when I was watching it, but how amoralistic the characters and the situations they found themselves in were, but how they found themselves making moral choices as amoral people because they were faced with the strangest situations, like the older Bruce Willis having to kill kids and, you know, like just all this crazy stuff.
And see what was interesting to me about the older Bruce Willis going through and killing kids was it showed me the character that he was never changed. He was always selfish.
Yes. Because he's still only
even the older Joe was just as selfish as the younger Joe was.
Yeah.
Because it was all about me.
Yeah.
It was all about saving my timeline, my memories, my experiences.
My happiness.
I don't care about kids. I don't care about that. I will kill children if it means that my happiness is maintained.
Jesus, Tony, too soon.
But it's, I mean, that's exactly right. Now, it was interesting that they showed him crying and stuff, and they humanize him. But the fact that he was willing to do it is just horrifying.
This guy spent his lifetime being a stone cold killer. I mean, whacking kids is something to become just natural. Maybe he may hesitate just an extra half second longer, but he has no moral.
Correct. Until the end.
The house creaks.
That's my protest at this movie. Bask in my anger.
We did have the introduction of Chekhov's stripper kid at the beginning of the movie that pays off.
I can't remember.
When he's at the club and he meets he's trying to get with the hooker, stripper, escort, whatever she is.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I've got to get home to my kid. So they introduce the fact that she's got a kid. So later it comes up. Because I thought that the kid might have been his. I figured there's something about that kid. And it turns out there was something about that kid. And that's one of the three that were born.
Yeah.
Which, boy, well, that was a stretch.
Yeah.
Which actually, but you know what? It actually leads to something Paul mentioned. He and I were talking about it.
Oh, you can't trust Paul.
This idea is actually pretty interesting. Is that the shadow, whatever he was?
The Rainmaker.
That the Rainmaker was actually pulling the strings and set this all up to happen this way.
The implication that he may have invented the time travel and everything?
Not that he invented the time travel.
He took advantage of it.
That he took advantage of it and he set up the situation so that Bruce Willis could be sent back so that Joe could kill himself. Because theoretically, he could relive that timeline over and over and over
and find out how
until he gets until he gets to the loop where his childhood is spared and she survives.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Because you could almost do a Groundhog Day with it. But you doing it over and over and over again. There are a lot of things
you could argue. Like one of the things I thought was maybe
because there was
telekinesis became important because somehow that led to the time travel. Like I really didn't understand the whole telekinesis being relevant to the main plot. But I thought it was, I guess, interesting.
Well, I think that's one idea they never really explored very much. It's like 10% of your population is TK. I mean, that's a huge chunk of people with those psychic powers. And we find out, you know, this kid's got the monopoly on them. There must be other people similar to him.
Well, he mutated. He was a mutant from two parents of TKs.
Yeah. I guess my only thing was the bit about the TK, while providing interesting, like, action sequences, and I guess makes him important in a very significant way.
It gives him the ability to become the Rainmaker.
But I could see all kinds of ways it could be written where you never introduce TK, and he still becomes just as important, and it becomes more about his personal motivations as opposed to him having TK, which
It was a shortcut crutch.
I just felt like it was unnecessary and almost made the film like too much for one, like too much in one movie. Like it's like, okay, got a handle on the time travel thing, audience viewer, and then all of a sudden they throw TK at
me. Well, let me ask you a serious.
For me, it made sense that she would be living out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it gave impetus for her to be living out in the middle of nowhere.
She could just have a farm, though.
For her to be terrified of him.
I think it works. I'm just saying, I don't know if that makes the movie stronger, the fact that they introduced the whole TK thing and went that direction with it.
Well, let me ask you a serious question. Would you masturbate if you had telekinetic powers? Like, would you use it to masturbate? Because I think that'd be like a no-brainer, right?
I don't know.
You're kind of dangerous.
Would you give another guy a telekinetic hand job?
No.
You just got to think about it. You don't have to touch it.
He didn't think about that answer. He just answered.
Yeah, don't be hasty.
You are touching him with your mind. It's the same thing.
Now think of the amount of money it would take for you to have sex with another man. Now think about the amount of money that it would take for you to give a telekinetic hand jibber to another man. What's the difference between those two numbers?
Jack Nicholson now or Jack Nicholson 1974?
It is, damn it, Raging Bull. Oh. Robert De Niro, Raging Bull.
Oh.
No. But what's interesting about that, and we can probably talk about this when we do that movie, which we will do.
We already did it while you were gone.
Did you?
No.
Damn it.
No, we did.
No.
No.
I didn't.
Okay.
There's supposed to be one of the main scenes, and that was originally written as a masturbation scene. Paul Schrader wrote the scene where he's
masturbating
and he can't. It's like one of these scenes. It's not in the movie, obviously. But
that's disappointing.
I know. Well, you know. But maybe Raging Bull with TK, maybe, you know, that happens. Who knows?
Well, first off, if I was a boxer with telekinesis, I mean...
You just pants a guy. It's like, just you ran back for punch, and his drawers drop, and you cold cut him, boom! No,
dude, simul-sec taps. You hit him with your hand, and you just do a little tap with the telekinesis on his sack.
Ooh.
Then he's like, ow, I just got punched. Why do my nuts hurt? Yeah,
that's... He hits me... This guy, he would get a reputation for hitting so hard.
Yeah, they call you the roller coaster. Because you get hit, you feel your nuts drop out.
Psychic sumo. There you go.
So I didn't know if there was if we needed to have TK in the movie necessarily.
I agree with that.
The fact that it was there didn't bother me necessarily.
I felt it was absolutely unnecessary, and they could have spent 15 of those minutes where they talked about all that. Now, the only thing that was...
They didn't spend much time on the TK.
Not much at all. First off, he ripped some dude apart with it. The whole reason that he's living with her is because of it, and they're living out in the middle of nowhere is because of it. I kind of felt like that was a crutch for them to shortcut making the kid important by having a better storyline. Well, he has all this cool power stuff, so he's important. Alright, I don't know. I think the kid had a good performance enough that they could have written something cool for him to do and not be telekinetic, and it would have been fine.
Well, my original thought, and they probably did this on purpose, was when they said... They were talking about the rumors of the Rainmaker, like he has like a metal jaw and all this stuff. I thought it was Paul Dano's character, that he somehow survived.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because he was obviously disfigured and dismembered, right? And I was like,
I thought he was going to come back.
That's brilliant. Later, yeah. You know, but it was probably just a misdirection. But that would have been a great, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we can sit here and try to rewrite the movie, but I think it was a good movie. There were a lot of... It being a mob movie, which in some ways it is a mob movie, there are all kinds of great like motivations, classic mob motivations. I mean, we talked about them in Goodfellas last week that they could have used, and they never went there, you know. But anyway,
wieners.
I was surprised to find out that this was not a book first.
Hmm.
Because I can see.
I am also surprised.
Because all the complaints that you guys have. Seem to be things that would have been that could have been fleshed out in a novel that they cut for the medium.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's weird that this was written for film.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but something they mentioned in the show notes on IMDb was this movie was shortened for the American audience, but lengthened for the Chinese audience. But there's more description and padding out of the story when he was living in China.
Hmm. Hmm.
We may see that in an extended cut.
Sequences
and
mm-hmm.
first
that fills out that montage is apparently a lot longer or is not so much of a shorted, not so much a montage. It gives a more background of his life there.
I see. So first they remove the Chinese from Red Dawn. Now they get a longer looper than we do.
Uh-huh.
My friends, we are at war.
Yes. They're getting the better movies. We're getting the inferior. So we might see the quote-unquote extended edition one day.
I am the extended edition.
They get all the Wong Kar-wai movies first.
It's not fair.
Not right. No,
I imagine that is the Chinese Robert Patrick, and I am okay with that. Because Robert Patrick is a creepy dude. And the weird thing about it is that he hasn't gotten less creepy now that he's older. He's gotten more creepy, and he's gotten fatter. Like,
yeah.
Fat Robert Patrick is creepier than thinner T-1000 Robert Patrick, and you're like, how is that even possible? But it's true and weird.
Well, movie magic can do anything.
I think he's just a creepy dude in general. Like, I imagine he murders.
Small hamsters?
Nope, just in general. Blanket statement, murders.
Mm.
Well, maybe his...
non-discrimination murders.
Future self will get sent back and...
His future self will get some back and murder his younger self.
No, he'd actually not murder himself. He'll just send you to a weight loss clinic.
If you murder yourself, it's suicide, so there's no murdering there.
It's true. It's true.
Unless you're caught. Killing yourself.
So any other thoughts? Any thoughts on the acting?
I thought they did a reasonably good job. I mean, this movie was it was an entertaining 120 minutes. I mean,
yes,
you won't be disappointed.
I thought that kid was great.
He was
fantastic.
I also was...
You know what? The one performance that I was underwhelmed with, Bruce Willis.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, he was down. They held him back quite a bit.
I think
Joseph Gordon-Levitt out-acted him.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's playing him.
He's a better Bruce Willis than Bruce Willis.
I don't think so. I think the problem is you had a situation where Gordon-Levitt's trying hard on top of the makeup, making it look kind of weird. Like, and then Bruce Willis is just kind of there.
Being Bruce Willis. Being Bruce Willis.
You know, so I thought Jeff Daniels was pretty entertaining.
He was good. He was fun to watch.
You know, I thought that was pretty great.
I want to go to France. Go to China. I want to go to France. I'm from the future. You want to go to China.
Yeah, he's...
Really? France? That's interesting. You know, it was like, I know things about you.
And right.
You don't end up in France. You just see that look on his face.
Right. Yeah, he was good.
I did like older Joe's description of time travel. Like, when he's trying to explain it, he's like, I don't want to talk about time travel because if we start talking about it, then we're going to be here all day talking about it, making diagrams with straws.
Yeah, yeah. And that was cool because you go, okay,
it doesn't
great.
Matter.
Better, yes, it's a plot device.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm waiting for Looper. Looper 2 will happen.
Well, believe it or not, there is a...
It's a universe. They're going to do something.
Oh, someone already has. I mean, there is a companion movie out there. It's a short. It's called The Outsider.
Really?
Yes, about another Looper.
Nice. That's cool.
It's made.
Does he address my telekinetic masturbation question?
That's in a film called Blooper.
These are burning questions I must have answered.
Well, the Looper universe has a lot.
Sure,
of
something is burning.
The fish from Mario. Right.
Well, the Looper universe has a lot of potential into it. I mean,
we only see
the edges of, you know, what was the economic disaster that befell the country. You know, how did time travel, you know, grow out of that? And what is the relationship
sure
of all that?
Goldman Sachs is involved.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we lived that already.
You know what? I don't care.
Yeah, right there.
I don't care about it.
That part of the world was developed so much.
Because you know what? When you threw midichlorians into Star Wars, we didn't need to know that.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with
Tony, and this is one of my problems. The world is fleshed out so much that they don't, like, they lose focus on the story that I actually want to see, especially since they're just going to discard all the rest of that at the end of the movie.
Well, that's a good point. There was a little too much exposition for the amount of story. Yeah. I kind of agree with you now.
Montages are exposition.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the 45 minutes. If you would have cut that back, add a couple of more, like, substantive sequences.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Well, there's one other big question is, too. If time travel was made illegal, how come the mob can use it without any detection from a, quote-unquote, time patrol? I mean, if you got something made that important made illegal, you'd have to be...
Are you proposing time cops?
Yes.
We have already seen that.
JCVD is on board.
Well, you'd think there would be roving time patrols that are, you know, trying to keep the chain
down. I've seen Time Cop. I'm talking about JCVD.
There are a lot of things that have been made illegal throughout history that the mob has for some reason been able to do it with.
I don't know what that is.
But that's all the more reason why you have a time police.
The movie where he's hunting down himself,
just kicking people.
Maybe the inside implication there is that the mob runs the future.
Or they're allowed to.
Yeah, or they're allowed to until
the
Rainmaker.
Here's the thing.
Time cop.
Here's the thing. Does that matter to you?
Sent to the past.
Does it really matter to you why the mob can use time travel?
No.
No. Because
it doesn't.
But I like if they posit larger questions about what's going on without clearly answering them. I think that's okay.
The first group that gets time control controls time control, period.
Yeah.
That's your answer. You don't need any more explanation than that. Because right, you can retroactively erase people.
Right, you can start a change war.
Listen, I watched Voyager, and that didn't end well for anybody.
I have a question. Why does she, that being the mother of the kid...
The aunt?
Mother.
Why does she know what a looper is? I didn't get that. I missed that.
Loopers seem to be known quantities in the universe. Just nobody knows who they are.
Okay, so
yeah, that was one of those things.
Well, they do kind of know who they are because they're rather flamboyant.
I thought the point was that at that time period, they had to hide because they didn't know. Like if you let your loop run, it's like, oh my gosh, you're letting the cat out of the bag.
You're right. I don't think the public at large knows about it, but I got the sense that she was one of those club girls in her younger days. She pretty much said that.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because she, you know. She and let the guys with TK
hang out with the club girls.
And the loopers hang out with the club girls. Okay. And of course, those guys are flaunting money when everybody else on the streets is poor and trying to steal vehicles just to survive. And I thought they did that well. Okay. I just thought the implication was that, yeah, she's a club girl. So
I didn't know if it was something that she perceived or that they had contact with the previous looper or the kid knew. Or I didn't know what was going on.
I think another line or two could have explained that.
Yeah.
If she would have said, you're a looper, he's like, how do you know about loopers?
Yeah.
And then she could have said, hey, I used to fuck dudes in clubs all the time. And
hey, you guys aren't exactly subtle.
Yeah, you guys aren't subtle. You think you're all cool and slick.
You're driving around in Miata. Everybody else is starving.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Balls.
First, why do we need 45 minutes to prove to me that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's a dick? He kills people for money. They're blindfolded. Like, I already... Two kills? Sold. Like, you don't have to sell me anymore. Now let's just pick up some prostitutes.
Yeah.
It's going to cancer bang.
That's all I got.
I think it's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I think it's a good movie too.
I think it's another good example of the great choices Joseph Gordon-Levitt is making.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is great.
He's pretty good.
He turned 30. He turned 30 while shooting this movie.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, during the one of the pieces of trivia is during the scene when he's falling from the
fire escape.
He's on stunt wires, and he's like at one point he's just hanging there from the stunt wires. The crew left him there, wheeled out a birthday cake, and sang happy birthday to him while he was just hanging there.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
I bet he murdered somebody after that.
Probably.
I would.
Probably Bruce Willis. Have you seen Bruce Willis in anything else since then?
He's gonna be in that Die Hard movie.
Damn it.
He was in The Hobbit.
What?
No.
Don't tell me. Spoiler. Don't tell me it was Gollum.
Yeah.
Gollum.
He played
the Bard.
He played the Ring.
He's the Ring.
Precious. No, I don't see Bruce Willis playing the Ring.
He played Radagast.
I could see Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing the Ring. A little bit of prosthetics.
Yeah, they didn't mind using him on him in this movie.
Man, I can't wait to bitch about The Hobbit.
Why the fuck?
Why are we all spending all this money?
I'm going to
go
France.
See a movie that you should we go know to is China. Not
going
to be good.
I'm going to France. I'm just from the future.
We're
going
to piss off fanboys. Alienate our audience. I'm telling you, this
Tony's
is a train wreck waiting to happen.
Tony's going to like
it. It'll be fun.
Daryl will like it. I can already tell you.
It will be an argument.
It'll be an argument. I can already tell you.
So it's going to be fantastic because we'll.
I'm going to see 48 frames a second.
I'm not doing that.
Don't see it not 3D.
Oh God.
Don't
CGI is so horrible, it has to have been CGI'd specifically for 3D.
Mm. Really?
I can't prove that because I'm not going to see it again.
My understanding
well,
was
since I can't
CGI
see 3D anyway, so...
The CGI was rushed.
From every indication I've heard, the CGI was rushed.
I will give you an eyewitness account of it being rushed.
I just think it's amazing. Like, everything about the movie that I've heard, I just feel like, just like, unbelievable. Like, I just can't believe it. I can't believe they're making it the way that they're making it. So, anyway, it's Peter Jackson.
The thing is, you're going to piss off people if you don't Peter make Jackson. It that way. You're going to piss off people if you do make it that way. So,
well, but you might as well make it the way you want it. What I mean is,
might as
like,
well make three movies out of it and get that much more bang.
Yeah, the three movies, it's rushed CGI. Money. I know it's about money.
But I don't understand. Why would you rush the CGI and you convince me that...
You're making three movies, probably all at the same time.
And you cannot convince me that time. Peter Jackson, like, the studio told him to stop spending money on
the thing
this.
The thing is, it was originally shot as two movies. Then they added more stuff to make a third movie. Then they decided they were going to release all three movies in 1 year.
That would have been cool. But instead, I got to wait 3 years.
You're not waiting 3 years. They're releasing one now, one in the summer, and one next fall.
What?
Yes.
God.
In 12 calendar months, you're getting all three movies.
Man, I wish they... didn't they wait? And second off, why didn't they make a better movie?
I don't know.
We'll have to get Peter Jackson on here and ask him all these hard questions.
I almost want to know. This is like one of the few movies where I actually want to know how it was made, what the heck they were thinking, who made some of these calls.
You know what?
You should see it. Maybe you'll like it.
In 6 months, you'll be able to get a DVD set with all of those extras. Yeah. So you can see all that.
And 12 months after that, you can buy it again.
I'm guessing
the extended edition. 18 months after that.
Again.
Man, I just... All right. Well,
then by then,
my expectations are so low, I might actually like it.
Well, tell you what, the thing is, you might have this crown that just beams the images in your mind.
A long time ago, when I was like in second grade, I read the book.
Book is awful. Don't worry about it.
No,
don't go back.
No, God, yes.
Ignore these people.
Difficult to remember. Even
the book is so much better than Lord of the Rings.
This is the wrong. Don't listen to this.
The Lord of the Rings is terrible.
This is wrong.
Well, let's just say it's overly long.
You must have read the version that was in Elvish. Which is why you didn't understand.
He's speaking falsely to you. Don't let him tempt you away from truth.
I have too much to read. I won't tag Lord of the Rings for a long
Tony
time.
Tony is the serpent. He's trying to mislead
you. I'm trying to get through the Asian saga.
I don't know what that means.
James Clavell.
I only read Shogun.
Shogun was very good.
I stopped at Shogun because I was like, this is silly because that chick just died. Mariko just died. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, but...
What confused me about her was she was like, I'm samurai, and then I'm Catholic, but I'm going to betray my daimyo and this other dude, and then I'm going to die in a weird way. I was like,
This book
is stupid. Come on. Everybody else in Japan was being awesome except for her, and she took up like half of that goddamn book.
I think that was in the book, actually.
That was in the book.
Blackboard said that.
Yeah,
everyone in Japan is being awesome except for you.
It was when he got a navy.
Why you gotta suck?
He got a navy. He was flying around. Torinaga was like, whatever. I'm Toshiro Mifune.
I'm reading Gaijin. Torinaga, like, they talk about Torinaga like every other page. Yeah. It's like a big deal.
Yeah, because James Cavall's like, man, Torinaga was awesome. I gotta go back to that. Oh wait, this is later. I think he's dead now.
Yeah, he's been dead for 200 years in the book I'm reading.
Yeah, that doesn't sound interesting at all. That last page of Shogun was so good. Torinaga's sitting around. He's like, "Whoop, I won."
Well, they're still
talking
about. But
I'm lonely.
Well, he's the lonely man at the top. Godfather Part 2. But anyway, I know. Like 200 years later, they're still talking about like
they pulled him back
how in. He set everything up in motion that's preserved for 200 years, and now it might all fall apart. That's kind of the political tension in the new book. I know you don't care, but at least it was one more thing we could talk about on the podcast Looper.
I got one more thing to say.
Oh, right. Come on.
Next week, Glengarry Glen Ross.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds very talky. Sensual? I don't know. What's the word?
Who's talkie? Glengarry or Glen Ross?
Both.
Okay.
Is this like a silent movie that now has a voice? Like a talkie?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Is this old?
Gary.
Gary.
90s, right?
80s.
Yeah. 80s? What? This one in the times.
And it all takes place.
All right, Tony. All I got to say is we're doing this, Hobbit, and we're probably going to do Red Dawn. So if these aren't the three worst movies we've reviewed in a row... I don't know what we're doing.
This?
I'm just messing around. I've never seen it.
I'm going to reach across here and punch you. No, it was 92.
Oh, that was a good year.
It was a very
good year. I think my brother was born in 92.
Based on a stage play.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen one movie based on a stage play that I thought was incredible, and that
Few Good Men.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Oh.
You think Few Good Men was incredible?
I didn't think it was incredible. I thought Jack Nicholson was incredible in it.
Few Good Men's pretty good.
Few Good Men was great.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof is good. It's a good movie.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof was incredible.
Witty banter. Great
movie. The last 10 minutes of A Few Good Men is great.
Yeah.
Most of the rest of the stuff is just set up to get to that 10 minutes, which I can take a
leave. Yeah, but the dialogue's pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't see Tom Cruise make out with anybody, so tons of good
quotes. I'm glad, though, he didn't in that one.
Yeah, because they could have. They could have went that way. They didn't.
And they hinted at it.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and that made it better.
Yes, I agree. Because if he and Kiefer Sutherland would have made out, that would have ruined the whole movie.
What about him and Jack Nicholson on the stand?
That would have actually made that actually would have made a far more interesting movie.
Yeah, Jumper's like, I would have put out the spank bang without delay.
And then Jack Nicholson is just kind of like monitoring the situation.
Yeah, just watching.
Waiting to make a move.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, well, anyway, so this episode will probably be remembered for the alternate Few Good Men ending. Really, it's going to break ground.
Well, I like the movie. Awesome. I like to derail it into other conversations.
Some men stand up on a wall. He's standing up on a wall protecting them.
Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
You know, it does add a brand new meaning to Nicholson's line of, you haven't lived till you got a blowjob from a superior officer.
I don't know what's happening.
It was from a few.
I'm surprised you haven't jumped in here. I'm surprised you haven't taken over this whole conversation.
To be honest with you, I don't remember that movie because I may have been asleep.
You got to go back and watch it then, at least.
I'm not doing that. Listen. I've learned a lot of things in my time, and the thing that I think is most important to understand is you can't go back. People don't understand this, but it's one of the central lessons of being a person on this planet. Can't go back. The Hobbit's the same way. You know how awesome Lord of the Rings were? You can't go back.
Jack can do
it Move again. On. You can't. You can't do it again.
But what about Ghostbusters 3?
No. First off, that's not going to happen. Stop it. And I didn't see Ghostbusters 1. And
Ghostbusters 2 was atrocious.
I'm not going back.
No, it's up there with Red Dawn. It is.
If you want to see The Hobbit without seeing The Hobbit,
Ghostbusters
watch Lord of the Rings because they go to all the same places.
I don't know
all
about the that, same but things. It was bad. Did Red Dawn have Bill Murray?
No.
No. It did have Thor.
The new one
does. The new one does.
The new one has Thor. It also has Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Papa Winchester.
He's pretty cool. I'm gonna go with that, but that doesn't watch mean Supernatural? I have to pay hard-earned money to see Red Dawn.
Have you watched Supernatural? Where he's Papa Winchester?
Not that. No. No, I haven't seen the one with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
No, there's several with him. He's their dad.
But what is Supernatural? A TV series or a movie? Yeah, I've seen a movie it's called a Supernatural, no, but it's not with series. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Okay.
Now, the original Red Dawn Powers Booth.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's racist in some fashion. Well, Red Dawn itself is racist.
You don't have to take this.
I know. I'm going to look at these PDFs of my condo, see if I can find the warranty for my water heater.
Good luck with that.
It all gets back to the water heater.
I got a one-track mind. Tonight, it's water heaters.
All right.
Hey, is there a Jack in the Box around here?
Yes.
Yes.
Where?
Down 50. I'll describe it when we're not recording. How does that sound?
Whoa.
Oh,
let's like all
this wrap this up.
You act like this conversation about Jack in the Box is out of place on this show.
That's true. All right.
We'll see you next week.
You get out to...
Wait,
to
do Greenhouse? I have to make a right or left?
Right.
Towards the highway?
No.
I'm out.
You make a right, then a left, and you're heading back towards the highway. You cross over the highway. There's a Jack in the Box. You turn around and get right back on the highway.
Pass.
Yep, you're
I lost. Answered your question.
Million to Juan.
I'm not. I don't care what you do.
It takes Juan to know Juan.
Obi Juan Kenobi.
Nope. Out. Now it's racist.
Good night.
Peace out, everybody.
See ya.